Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Hey parents, Jack and Claire's Children's Boutique in Oxford features the latest brands of baby and children's clothing, shoes, toys, and accessories. Check out Jack and Claire's Facebook page too. Jack and Claire's Children's Boutique, West Jackson Avenue next to Belk.
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between. Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Hello, hello, hello. My goodness, what a difference a week makes. Lots of things are trying to get their spring on around here. What do you think? Well, there's a little bit of cold weather left here, there, and yes, elsewhere. There'll be at least a little bit of frost this week at my house in Zone 8. But on the other hand, things are going very well, and those things can that will be vulnerable to that will be covered up a little bit. I find that at this time of the year, it's actually as important to protect young baby plants, you know, spring things, summer things in some cases, because yes, some of us have tomatoes in containers, but it's also the time to understand that the wind is as big a deal as the temperature, and the amount of rain is also real important to monitor. So if you're trying to catch your opportunity to get these things through this particular next little slightly dicey bit of weather, make sure that your plants have great soil and the opportunity to grow where they are. But if the wind really gets up there in your area, know that they're going to dry out quickly. The soil's going to dry out quickly, especially in a container. And don't make yourself more vulnerable than you need to be. Put up a little protection. Take it back down when you don't need it anymore. Do what you do. Good morning and good morning, gardeners. You know, it may not be morning when you're listening to this program. We're lucky here. We have the opportunity for live broadcasts on Saturday, rebroadcast on Sunday, and then a whole bunch of time for you to grab this particular show and others from the archive at supertalk.fm. Take me with you wherever you want to go. Appreciate that. Farnado's over in Louisiana saying good morning. Trey is, of course, sending in some delightful bits and pieces of, shall we say, garden-esque humor. I think that's a good way to put it. But that beautiful rose, oh my goodness, that is wild. By the way, Trey, did you know that today is Corn Dog Day? Trey sent cattails, which of course are nature's corn dogs. No, we don't eat them. That's the joke. But today is in fact Corn Dog Day, which made me remember, and I don't even know if anybody needs to hear this story, but there was one opportunity at my house for the catastrophic failure of the corn dog. And it did involve, yes, tofu. Anyway, we won't talk about that. It didn't taste good and really didn't fry very well. So that's a good one. Gloria's in Clinton. Let me see. What am I looking at here, Gloria? Well, looks like you got a few things happening in this particular photo. You got a lot of trillium, which is a beautiful, beautiful plant. And I think that might be the one that you want me to identify, maybe? I'll take another look at it up closer, because this other photo has other plants in it. And in fact, you've got you have what looks to be maybe a daylily and probably a couple of things that folks would consider weeds that are nice little plants. Anyway, we'll talk about that. I'll get into those and see what I can do for the identification on you. Let's see what we can do today with Fletcher in Grenada on the phone. Good morning, Fletcher. What's going on?
Hey, Garden Mom, I have a serious issue. I need your help. I have either molds or bowls of tunnel on my yard. Everything is mushy. I have the cat, but I don't know how to get rid of those things. I need some help.
And so it's tunnels actually under the lawn?
Yes.
You're going to need to turn your radio down.
Sure.
You'll explode my brain when I hear myself coming back. It's tough stuff. Anyway, if it's actual runs out into the yard, that's going to be moles with an M. Are they in your lawn? Or are they in a pasture? Or where? What are they invading?
They're in my lawn.
Okay. There are a couple of things to know about them. The main one is that they do they're there because there's food in your lawn, underneath your lawn for them. They eat white grubs. And if you've ever seen, sometimes along a driveway or along a sidewalk, the area right up next to the sidewalk or driveway will seem a little bit less thick in its grass. And that's because it's warmer, and that's where the white grubs tend to nest, is under the surface of the soil in those warmer spots. But wherever they are, that's where the moles go to eat them for lunch. So when you take care of the grubs, generally speaking, the moles will move at least to your neighbor. So that's not a bad thing. There are plenty of granular products and sprays. I recommend the granules because the spring is kind of wet, and we don't really need to put out too much more water. It may wash off. But in terms of a granule, it will be activated by the rainfall, and I think that's probably the way to go. There are two other ways to do this. One is the classic organic, quote-unquote, way of doing this, where you stomp all the runs down, and the next morning when the one area is obviously being excavated by them again, it'll pop up. You take the garden hose and shove it in there and turn it on and walk away for a few hours. That will flood them. That doesn't necessarily get rid of them, but it will make them angry, and sometimes they'll leave. Okay? The other thing that you can do, there is a two-step process. Milky spore fungus is the traditional beneficial insect way to go to this. It takes two applications, though, and since your problem is pretty severe, I would rather see you go the conventional way, go to the garden center or the co-op and ask for a product you can put on the lawn that will control the white grubs, and the moles will go away.
Is there an application season for that garden mama? Like,
yeah, when you see them. Right now is great because they're starting to get nested in for the summer, and they're going to be multiplying. So now's a real good time to get them under control.
Okay, so put the granular down in the infected area, and I should see.
Yeah, you're going to treat. You're going to treat your whole yard. And generally speaking, it only takes one time to do it, but the instructions on the package will tell you what to look for in terms of whether or not you're going to have to do it again. Usually you don't.
Okay. And last question, Garden Mama.
Sure.
At what point should I start to see relief from the grub?
And that's really hard to tell because it depends on how many of them there are. One mole will leave quickly, but if there's already a family, that's a different problem. I suspect you won't see any more in about 2 or 3 weeks. You'll see that they've left. It takes that long to break up the life cycle of the grub.
Okay.
Let me know, though, because some products work differently than others, and I'd be curious to know about your experience.
Okay, we'll do.
Thank you much. Appreciate you, Fletcher. Good to hear from Grenada this morning. You know, there's so many things that we want to deal with in the springtime, and moles is certainly one of them. Woo, they're a problem.
I can tell you that my two cats, Butterscotch
well,
and
now
Sunshine,
there is that.
Buddy, let me tell you what, and I want to give them some props on air. I know they can feel the energy because they've been on a run getting the rodents as they've things have warmed up, and they're not little. These were some big old rats, and so congratulations, boys. They actually have trophies in front of their food that say they have little inscriptions on it that I bought them a while back, but they've been on a run, and I don't want to, you know, not in jest, but a cat does help.
Oh, cats absolutely help.
They love a mole more than a vole, from my experience.
When the problem is already existent, it's hard, but if you are ever wondering why. There are people who will tell you that you should never let a cat into your garden because there is an issue with cats and birds and all of these things. Obviously, it depends on where the birds are and all these other bits and pieces of things. But I find that my cats earn a living. You know, they keep the squirrels out of my tomatoes. And
guard cats.
Well, in your case, they're taking care of your whole property.
Yeah, they do a good job. I'm proud of them.
I do let mine into the attic at least a couple of times a year. Well, more than that, actually. Probably more like every 2 months. But they love to get up there and chase things around, and we don't have any rodents in the attic. Me and the cats are doing pretty good at that. Thank you so much for posting the pictures that I sent you this week. That is the one of two leaves on the fig tree. This used to be a tree, and now it is a leaf. But there's life there, and I'm looking forward to nurturing what's left of the tree.
I hate to say, I don't think mine's going to sprout a leaf. By this point,
yours has been through a lot.
Yeah,
yours
I think it's going to be a chaw stick now.
Yours has been through a lot.
Very nice tasting chaw stick.
I got lots of good response to the post that I made about the bridal wreath spirea. In all my social medias, it is in fact a rescue plant, and what I wrote about it is that I'm happy to say that it's in full bloom, has been for years, but it was a case where it was dug up before they came to pave Paradise and put up a parking lot, and that really did happen, and the plant is really there and blooming now. I'll grant you, it was a struggle at first because it didn't want to grow at all, but sometimes if you have a back garden and you can leave things alone for a little while, they'll come into their own. And this one did. It took 3 or 4 years, but it's been beautiful ever since. The other photos today, Paul the poinsettia has gotten his spring haircut. So if you want to see what that looks like, and I hope you do, supertalk.tv is where to see all of these things. I do have the before and the after. This was quite a project. I'm happy to say that when you go to cut back a poinsettia, the stems that are going to be the most viable will sprout little green tips on them. So you know where to cut back to. And you don't have to have leaves necessarily. And certainly in my case, I don't because they had all fallen off already. But that green stem is going to be enough to get it going again. And if I can do this, it will be year 6. I've never had a poinsettia quite that long, so I'm very happy about that. Another of the beautiful blue cornflowers bloomed. Well, several of them bloomed, but there's a photo of one in the garden box in the back by the raised beds at my place. And yes, it's a sculpture behind it. It's not just a random piece of metal. It's a little odd, but that's what my hair looks like. She was given to me as a gift because she looks like me with my hair on fire. And it does happen. Anyway, y'all are so sweet to get in touch this morning. Ray's in Clinton. He and Sandy are at Wesley Chapel, Florida. How nice is that? They're looking at some unusual hibiscus and crossandra plants, and of course they're labeled for zone 10. They'll be fine as tropicals. They will not be hardy if you put them outside all year long, but there's no reason not to have any of the what I will just call crazy hibiscus, because some of the zone 10 hibiscus are just magnificent, but they don't ship very well, and so that's the reason why you'll find them in Florida, but you won't necessarily find them in the garden centers in zone 8, for example. Just like on any other tropical hibiscus, you'll have to take care of it in the wintertime, but why not? It's a beautiful plant. I hope you'll have a good trip. That's nice. It's a really nice place to be. Fun stuff. Hibiscus and crossandra both are plants that we consider part of the retinue around here. We're going to put them into the garden in containers because they're not going to do very well. Crossandra particularly is going to make a great house plant. So I think that's a really good one to look at. And don't forget, there are all sorts of Cajun hibiscus, which are a little bit hardier. They're not as hardy as, say, perennial hibiscus in the classic sense, the dinner plate ones or some of those others. Even Confederate rose, it certainly is hardy, but it has some of that in it. So you have the opportunity to see a lot more flowers for a lot longer. It doesn't necessarily become hardy. I think our soils at times, and certainly in my garden, the soils are heavy. And as a result, I'm going to grow that in a container. Even though it's technically hardy here in zone 8, I'm not going to put it to the test. Not going to put that one to the test. Oh, my goodness. In addition to being Corn Dog Day, folks, today is Maple Syrup Saturday. And I have a question for y'all. Does maple syrup ever go bad? Does it ever turn, or does it go to alcohol? Does it go to sugar? Somebody needs to tell me, because I have some that smells.
I've had stuff at deer camp that looked like
I have some
it
that smells
just came out
really
the tree.
This stuff smells funny.
Yeah, I mean, if it'd been there a decade, I would just buy. You know, it's not that expensive. I'd probably go
well,
buy another
that's
one.
That's the point. Over, you know, I'm not a maple syrup person, so that's probably why it's been there for so long. But
You'd have to think, like, more of the big box stuff would be a little more preservative driven, so maybe it may last a little longer than, say, a organic or a, farm style, farm to table, because most of that stuff is meant to be consumed pretty quickly versus,
that's true.
In my opinion, I might be way off base in saying that, but I would
probably. Well, I don't think they're sending it to the space station.
Yeah.
Okay. I think it's supposed
they're
to
eating
get
it before
exactly.
or on the ride.
Exactly. I think you're supposed to finish that on the way up. I am still looking for the four daisies. I really do want to put all four of them into my garden. I realize this is rather ambitious of me because, well, I've only ever grown three. I've grown two of them. I've grown Becky and I've grown May Queen. But I'm looking for Snow Lady, and the classic Alaska's right in there too. This is the way to get the same cut flower over a period of weeks, and instead of just a couple of cuts. These are going to be a little bit different. They bloom in different order when they're, growing at the same time in the same place. So I'm looking forward to that particular opportunity this year. I'm also talking with people about which tomatoes I do grow and which ones I don't. These were some interesting questions. I call this the Real Gardeners, Real Questions. We hope the answers are good because, I'm the one giving the answers. But the question was, why don't I grow big boy tomatoes? And I think because I can buy them everywhere is probably the reason I don't grow them. They're perfectly lovely tomatoes, but everybody grows them, so they're all over the place. I'm really very fond of Cherokee Purple, and I will grow Celebrity. A lot of people say, well, you can get Celebrity tomatoes places too. Yeah, I know, but it's such an easy plant to grow for me because it is determinate. It holds its place in the container, doesn't get 17 feet up above the tomato cage or the sticks or whatever you're growing it attached to. So that's looking pretty good. That's really the two that I'm working with right this minute. Just for curiosity, there are always... There always are so many choices to be made, Don't forget now, I don't know about this. I just don't know if there's going to be a bigger day this spring. I started to say this will be my biggest day, but I don't know. I think it will. April the 6th, okay? You know that I've been talking about this for a while because on April the 6th, I'm calling it the Going Up the Country Tour, even though it's not that much of a tour. There's two stops, and that's more than I usually get to make on one Saturday, so I'm looking forward to it. My favorite peach, Mark Patrick, and I will be making these two stops. We're going to do some Yak It Up. We're going to talk about gardening and talk about plants and talk about what to do and talk about what not to do in some cases and how to make better container gardens. Right after the show that morning, we will be at Doris Berry Farmers Market in Pearl by around 10:30. Stay there until noon. Now, here's the deal. I'm going to tell you about this one now so that you'll write this down. Get yourself to Doris Berry Farmers Market in Pearl on Highway 80 and register for this spectacular gift basket they're going to give away that day in honor of us being there. Or, if you can't get out there, but you're going to come and be with us because you got to be present to win, send me an email, mamaonair@yahoo.com. Register for the gift basket, and I will see you that day. We'll talk about the next event that afternoon up in Carthage and take your questions, all your texts, and talk some more gardening. Wait a minute now. This is Stephen Stills.
I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Hello, I'm Sean Tindall, Commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Since 2021, Mississippi has seen a 25% reduction in fatalities involving crashes with commercial motor vehicles. Many of those crashes could have been avoided. DPS, through its MHP's Motor Carrier Unit and the Commercial Transportation Enforcement Division, is partnering with Big Rig Truckers to conduct safety checks across our state for the Trooper and Trucker Safety Initiative. The Department of Public Safety and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are working together to keep our highways safe for everyone. Thank you, and drive safely.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.